Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to seek the answer to the question, how important is it for churches to count attendance and congregational giving? Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled this coming week and next Sunday. The 5 o'clock service will be, which is the number 5 on the series of Biblical Foundation series, and it's entitled Faith and Hope. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 143, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Continue our worship with hymn number 34, Immortal, Invisible. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Oh, remain standing for prayer. Lord, we come to you in the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And because of his intercession, we can come to the Holy of Holies and first and most to say thank you for the great salvation that you bestow upon our life. For the great moment when the Holy Spirit, through the scripture, wake us up and we saw the light and we saw your work through the death and resurrection of our Lord. We saw that he came and died for us. We saw that he came and rose again so that we can have life. Thank you, Father. But then you commission us to openly proclaim the gospel, openly associate one another as a body of believers with the only thought and the only target that others may know Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, Lord, that for 25 years you allow us to do that. Not only here in this place, but through the internet, through the radio broadcasting KKMC and the airwaves of AADAM, through the CD and tape ministry. Thank you for the local church. They serve the communities, the South San Jose, Morgan Hill, San Martin, Gilroy, some people from Salinas, some people come as far away as Freeman, and others as Pescadero. So, Father, how grateful we are that your word is attracting people to know what you have to say. As we learn today from Jeremiah, he exhorted the king to obey. He said, if you obey, you will be protected. Father, if we obey, we will be protected. And for those who have no idea who Christ is or what we do, oh Father, we pray that you enlighten them and gave them knowledge of the Almighty as you did to us. We too were there. No one of us was born as a Christian. We were born with sin, but then you took it away. And we want others to have the same experience. We thank you for our congregation. We thank you for those who need your hand of mercy, because I know you're going to touch them. Carla Galeotto, one of our listeners from San Leandro. Loretta Forrest, our mighty and wonderful lady, sick. Tom Curley, Ann Peretto, Dana Noriel, Donald McDowell, Mary and Jerry West, Dr. McCormack. We want to see him running, Father. And it's just my wife, Raquel, and maybe others people who are affected by life because we get sick. Lord, we pray for your mercy and give them patience as they take the medicine and go through the process of healing. Lord, we are thankful for our missionaries. We are thankful for Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Maritza Perez, David and Denise Rhodes, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, Marta Ferretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, Daniel and Miriam Lacey. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us a list of men and women who are doing the same thing we do, trying to show through the Bible that God loves us and cares for us. But that God is a God of justice too. A God that will not put up with sin all the time. And so, Father, we try to bring the gospel before the judgment day so that we all can be together with you one day forevermore. Thank you for the service. Thank you for your congregation who is so faithful and providing for the ministry. And so we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Esther. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 599. We will be reading Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Esther chapter 5, the entire chapter. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you have given us your written word, which never changes and is forever settled in heaven. We are confident that your promises will always come to pass. You have demonstrated this over and over again, and nothing or nobody can stop you from accomplishing your goals, this in spite of sin in the world. We thank you that you have been merciful to us and adopted us into your family because of the works and merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have even marked out the boundaries of our dwellings, and we rejoice that our times are in your hands. Help us to walk worthy of our calling. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to teach from the scriptures your sovereignty over all that is. Bless us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may come to more fully understand how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for reading that beautiful passage of the scripture. You do well if you open your Bible to the book of Esther in chapter 5. And as you do so, let me bring the background of so far in our study of the book of Esther. The entire book of Esther is unique because the name of God is not mentioned. Heaven is not mentioned. Hell is not mentioned. Nothing that you relate to Christianity is mentioned in the book of Esther. But the presence of God is obvious, the key factor in the book of Esther. I call this book the invisible presence of God. Just like you and me live every day and are not aware that God is just there with you. The invisible presence of God. In chapter 1, we saw that invisible presence of God by a social disturbance in the empire. Who will think that Ahasuerus' wife, Vashti, will say no to her husband? In the Persian law, if a wife say no to the husband, she lost her head. How serious. But she said, no, I will not do what you want. And so at the end of chapter 1, we have the peaceful, controlling empire of the world in turbulence. The king has no longer a wife. She's put aside. And now they are looking for one. And somebody who was just walking on the street was selected. That happened to be a Jew. And was Esther. Chapter 2. The invisible presence of God is seen by selecting a Jew as queen of the Persian Empire. A lot of women, 127 provinces, for you will be 127 states. Imagine. And out of those states, one who was in Shushan, who is not a Persian, is selected to be in place. Chapter 3, the invisible presence of God. By allowing Satan to show his colors. Remember that I said that this chapter teaches that life is unfair. Life is unfair. And God is still in control on that awful situation where Haman, an officer of the empire, planned to kill all the Jews that came in exile right there in the Assyrian Empire and had the consentment of the king. Now, chapter 4, God is really present by placing one person in a key position. I have to show it to you. It's amazing that here is an officer of the empire who has the grace of the king upon his life, who requests his ring, because they don't sign at that time. So they request the seal of the king to sign a decree that on the last month of the year, on the 13th day, all the Jews will lose their head. And he thought that he was in absolute control of the empire, in absolute control of the world, like Hitler thought. But they forgot about God. God don't have an army. God do not have the F-15s flying around. God has one lady. Man, say amen. All right. God has one lady. One lady. Look at chapter 4 with me. Look at here in verse 14. When Mordecai confronted and gave the news to Esther, who was ignorant of what happened in the empire. And look at what Mordecai said in chapter 4, verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And here's the challenge. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's the background of our chapter. Now she have all the news. And you remember also that in the Persian law, the king is in his office, and if his wife walk in and he do not show the scepter, she lost her head. Remember? Only his wife can see the king when he call her. He's shaving, don't want to be disturbed. You know, this kind of men, macho men, I guess. They had laws that women were nothing. It was not for Jesus. Women were nothing. So he said, the decree is, if he do not call one of his wife, then she's dead. And she come to ask a question, even if he asks a question. So remember that she told that to Mordecai. If I walk over there and I tell the king, I lose my head. And Mordecai says, so what? So she said, if I perish, I will do it. Now, I will do it. Now she have a task, and we all believers have a task. Here comes the genius of Esther. I mean, this is the best hour of these women. Man, say amen again. I tell you. This is fantastic. Here is on her heart the heavy weight. If she doesn't act, all the Jewish people will die. It's on her shoulders. And you heard chapter 5. She's calm, cool, and collected. And it's a great lesson for all of us. So I'm going to go over chapter 5, verse by verse, to learn from the chapter how to act when we are under stressful circumstances. All right? Here we are. Okay? Verse 1 and verse 2. God handled King Ahasuerus. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Chapter 5 of Esther. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. Notice the word stood. She don't went to the court and to the office hiding himself. See, she from the back and touch the king. She just walked like nothing happened in the king's house. All right? And the Bible said, verse 2, and it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor, grace in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So the Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter, and she will not die. Was the king nice? No, ladies and gentlemen, no. The king was under God's control. You have the book of Esther, put one hand in Esther, and go with me to the book of Proverbs. All right, chapter 21 of the book of Proverbs and verse 1. You have the book of Psalms and then the book of Proverbs. All right, Job, Psalm, and Proverbs. Chapter 21 and verse 1. The king was under God's control. Look what the Bible says. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The word Lord is Jehovah. No Allah, Jehovah. All right? As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whatsoever he will. Do you see it? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he turned that heart as he wants to. So let me tell you. No king in this universe has ever intimidated God. God can handle anyone. He can handle your wife. He can handle your husband. He can handle your pastor. He can handle the person who gives you grief. He can handle your enemy, because in the hand of the Lord is everybody, and in he moves that heart like he moves the rivers of water. Amazing. First we learn in here is that God handled King Ahasuerus. Esther doesn't have to change the mind of the king. Esther doesn't have to do something to work out her plan. Just Esther move like a Christian, trusting God. Trusting God. And God is ahead of Esther and already changed the heart of the king. Can you imagine when Esther saw that she could perish at that very moment? Her life was in jeopardy. Can you imagine when she saw the grace of God upon her life? You remember when you came to the Lord? What a great moment it was when you came to the Lord. You could be still an unbeliever today, but you are not, because God moved toward you. What a great God we have. Now, verse 3, God opened King Ahasuerus' heart. Look at, it's unbelievable. Then said the king unto her, I'm reading Esther 5, verse 3, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. King Ahasuerus, the king of the largest empire this world ever know, the Persian Empire, said to her, can I help you? Remarkable. Then I imagine Esther have a good heart, because otherwise you blew up, all right, when you see this. Verse 4, God was at work in the heart of Queen Esther. Right there, it was me. I was, oh, king, yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you what I need, if I was me. But look at Queen Esther, verse 4. Esther answered, if it seems good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for the queen. Can you see it? That I have prepared for him. She don't say a word. Let me tell you what Esther doesn't say. Number one, she doesn't point a finger at Haman. She knows that Haman is a bandido, but she doesn't point a finger at Haman. She doesn't rush ahead and tell the king what is troubling her. She does not say it. She doesn't play on his emotions and try to manipulate the king. Boy, that's my moment. He asked me what to do. She says very calm, I have planned a banquet, and I would love to have you and Haman attend it. Is that a gorgeous believer? I mean, you never thought that these women trust God and the dimension she did. I mean, I take my hat to these women. It's just amazing. Amazing. Now, look at verse 5. God is in control of the kingdom. Verse 5. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther has said. Now, Haman now is in the hands of Esther. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. The king may rule the kingdom of Persia. Haman may sign edicts with the official seal, but it is the Lord who is in control of the entire situation. The Lord is in control of that chaos moment in the life of Israel when Israel was in Assyria. I have some thoughts to share with you so far. With Esther, her walk with God was an exciting adventure. And that should be your walk. You never know what God is going to do tomorrow. That should be your expectation of life. She steps in the king's presence because she has confidence in God. In verse 2, the Bible says, and it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen is standing on the court. She had confidence in God. If she is the person to do this, I am not going to do this behind the doors. I just walk in and see the king and see what God has done, is doing. I tell you, that's trusting. She planned a banquet because she expected God to do the unexpected. She need to hear these two talking together. What a psychologist she is. Before she makes a decision, she wants to know where these two guys are talking. And so a woman cannot talk in the Persian law when a man isn't present. And so she sits, she prepares the banquet. I'm sure the servants bring the beautiful Persian food. If you don't know how beautiful they are, you just tell Bedolo and he takes you to a good Persian restaurant here in San Jose. It's just gorgeous. All right? And my wife loves it. And it's just fantastic. And she listened carefully. She's no less than those two men. She's smarter than the two men. All right? All right. Are we really waiting on the Lord to do his will? That's the lesson so far. We know the Lord's will. We pray, oh, the Lord's will. But are we really waiting for the Lord's will? Or are we too hesitant to do what we want to do? You got it? Are we waiting? I mean, real waiting. To the point of this. It's just an amazing thing. Are we really waiting? Who would ever have guessed God's plan for Esther? Nobody. Yet, here she was at the banquet with King Ahasuerus and Haman. By the way, I want to tell you this. She still hasn't told the king what is troubling her. But I'm sure he knows something is wrong and she's playing for the right moment. I'm sure he was extremely smart, a great gentleman of the Persian Empire. He knows people well. Only he fails on judging Haman. But he knows something is cooking and he's playing with that. He really wanted to know what really happened. So, first lesson. Do you wait for the will of the Lord to be really known to you? Or you take decisions in your hand according to whatever you want to do. Very important. Very important. Well, let's go through the chapter again. Let's go to verses 6 to 8. So as they are sitting together at the banquet, the king raises the question again. Look at verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Now this is the second time the king approached Esther. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is. Now look at how careful she is. Verse 8. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if pleases the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. In other words, here's my petition. I make another banquet for you tomorrow. That makes the king crazy, don't it? He's trying to find out what really is going on. And she says, yes, sir. Now, notice how humble she is. You know, you treat people in a humble way. That's very proper. And she said, if this is good with you, here's my petition. Come tomorrow. I'll make another banquet. Boy, that must throw this man blue out. All right. Verses 9 and verse 10. And a commentary of these two verses are in Proverbs, but I will read the verses for you. Look at verse 9 and verse 10. Then, when Haman for that day joyful and with a glad heart, but when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, no move for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, what the scripture says, Haman refrained himself. He was so happy, so proud. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18 makes a comment about this verse 10. Remember why he said he came home, he was a little upset because he saw Mordecai actually a lot upset. And in Proverbs 16 and in verse 18, we find a commentary on this verse. What happened is he said, well, I take care of Mordecai later on, but hey, call all my friends and I want to tell you, I want to tell you what kind of guy you're going to see. Now, what Proverbs 18 said? Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. But I think God allowed the old nature develop at Mordecai. Mordecai was a guy who needed to show. And God allowed that pride to flourish so that God can use it for his benefit. All right? Haman thought, I just have a private dinner. Can you imagine that? A private dinner with the king and the queen. What an honor. I must be a good guy. I must be number one. The king of Persia and the queen of Persia, they invited me twice. Boy, they like me. See what pride does? Not even having a smell, you know, what's going on. He cannot even smell what Esther knows. No, even he asked, why? Amazing. Can you imagine Haman at the office the next day? Imagine you work with Haman and come to the office. How are you, everybody? You know, like he is number one. Haman is full of pride and wants to celebrate his own glory. God, here's what is behind this. God has blinded him through pride. God need to blind this fellow for a while so that he can work the plan. And so he let his whole nature flourish. And the old nature of all of us is pride and flourish. Now, verse 11. Go back to Esther chapter 5, verse 11. So he sent for his wife and his friends. And in verse 11, you will have arrogancy plus conceit together. Look at verse 11. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children. Now, the Bible doesn't speak of Haman's children. There is a writer from the Roman Empire in the year about 200 who wrote about Haman. 242 children he accounted to Haman through different women in the empire. But I cannot testify. This is not what the Bible said. But I find trying to find out what how many children he had, because he was proud of how many children. And all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him about the princes and servants of the king. So you have here arrogancy plus conceit. I want you to know I am number one. You know what Satan wants? You have read Isaiah chapter 14, of course, where Satan said five times, I will do this, and I will do this, and I will be about God. And that's what Haman wants. I am number one. Be careful if you're feeling that way. Be careful. Verse 12 and 13. But with all his glory and wealth and power that Haman has, you will think he will be the happy man on earth. But no Haman. Look at with me, verse 12 and 13. Haman said, moreover, yeah, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet, verse 13, look at this. All these availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Satan himself. He will not let you at peace. If you serve the Lord and you follow the Lord and you do what God said, Satan is upset about you. That's exactly what happened. Sin never satisfies you. That's another lesson. You can plan something gorgeous and spectacular, but I guarantee to you they will not satisfy you. Sin will never satisfy you. Never. So we come to a close in verse 14. God, remember what God did? God used pride, his own pride, to blind him. But now God's going to use his wife to destroy him. Look at verse 14. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. He said, don't get upset. God is using these evil women for the whole preparation. And God is saying, his wife is being used of God, and she doesn't know it. She said, do something about it. Don't start talking about this ugliness. Haman hated blind Mordecai, to the point that he built a 75 feet tall, that means 7 floors high, gallows, never knowing that that gallows was for him. Never knowing. That's what pride does. And that's what sin does. Satan blinds you, and you never know that that blindness will destroy you. Now, here's the chapter. I read it 52 times this week, so that I can have the chapter embedded on me. And I ask myself this question, how this chapter tie with our life today? How this chapter relates to me today in America? Two lessons. First, when preparing for an unprecedented event in your life, wait on the Lord before getting involved. Turn your Bible to Psalm 46 and verse 10. When you are preparing yourself for an unprecedented event, wait on the Lord before getting involved. Psalm 46 and verse 10. You're going to make a great business decision. You're going to get married. The greatest decision after you have the Lord is marriage. You're going to get marriage. And you just wait upon the Lord. Look at what the Bible says. Cease striving, or the King James says, stand still and know that I am God. You tell a child, stand still, and forget it. The child moves. You tell an adult, stand still, don't make a decision, and the adults move. How many times I have said in my office and council, don't do anything until the Lord, wait, but I want to know. You don't know, so you wait upon the Lord. And the person makes a decision and is wrong. The first lesson is you have to learn to wait upon God. God is like our brother Plika. Praise the Lord, he's back into our church. Our brother Plika has prayed. God is sovereign, we say in theology. And is it nice to use that word sovereign? But when you put that word in your feet, means you wait upon God. You wait upon God. You wait upon God. Are you sure that what you want to do is God's will for your life? That is the key. In business, the same thing. I want to buy this or I want to buy. God is in control of everything. Are you sure that this is the will of God for your life? Very important. Very important. Very important. So that you avoid to lose years of experience in your life. Years. Number two. When dealing with unpredictable persons, count on the Lord to open the door of the heart. Look in Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When dealing with unpredictable persons, count on the Lord to open the doors of their heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, when a man's way, the word man's is not referring to male, it's referring to mankind. When mankind ways pleases the Lord, when your life, your walk of life pleases the Lord, what the Bible says, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You don't have to worry about anybody. You just have to worry to please the Lord. When are we going to learn that? You don't have to worry about that person. You have to worry about yourself, that you are living pleasing the Lord. And when you please the Lord, those who are even against you will be at peace with you. Go to 1 John with me, almost at the end of the Bible. The book of 1 John. Never forgot this. 38 years ago when I did the translation of 1 John for my seminary, I get to verse 6 and my eyes were open, wide open. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible says. He that saith he abideth in him, he who said, I am in Christ, out himself also so to walk, even as he walks, as Christ walked. That's what the world needs to see, my brother and my sister. This is better than a meeting and evangelism. The best evangelism this world will see is Christians walking like Jesus. That is the best evangelism this world will see. It's easy to preach from the pulpit and to tell you that Jesus died for your sin, but it is hard to leave that Jesus within ourselves. But it is a command of the scripture. If we say that we are Christians, and notice I don't say we are Baptists or Pentecostals or Catholics. If we say if we are Christians, we need to walk like Christians. We need to talk like Christians. Actually, we need to live just as Jesus lived, full of compassion, full of love, and full of mercy with people. Amazing. Amazing. And that's what Esther is picturing, don't it? There is an example for you, and it is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 2. Here's a great example for you. The example of Jesus, how that he pleases God. In a marvelous way, Jesus did this. Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 2. The Bible says, looking to Jesus, or unto Jesus, at the King James, look at to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He don't have to endure the cross, but for the joy of living with God forever and fulfilling God's plan, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. My brother and my sister, are we Christians? Is the world seeing us as Christians as we talk and we say? Somebody, each time I preach in a seminary, I tell the students that this is the key. It is not your preaching. Sure, you're going to preach the word of God. I hope so. But it is your life that really counts. The life of a preacher is the light of a congregation. And Satan knows it. And what do you think Satan trying to do? To destroy the life of the preacher. Not to destroy his mind and learning the scripture, but Satan is going to attack the preacher and his wicked old nature so that he can destroy him and then lose his ministry. We have to be aware of that. And so how do you avoid that? You just avoid that by living like Jesus. I told the Sunday school class today that I had to teach it because Ramil was not here. That the only way to avoid problems is to get informed. And you get informed when you read this book called the Bible. You get informed. You get to know what God said. You notice Jeremiah today twice. He said, thus said the Lord. Actually, you can go through the Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 37 times said, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. He never said, this is my personal opinion. This is the Baptist position. I hate when the preacher, by mistake, he made those errors. This is the Baptist position, or this is the Protestant position. This is God's position. And we must follow. God's word is not for option. And so, my brother, as I go into close in prayer, I want to tell you that I was so delighted to read Esther and to say, Lord, you really humbled me. Number one, I need to wait. And number two, the example you put that is a woman. And I need to respect it. She is better than me. She really knows what to do. And some of you husbands need to respect your wife in that sense. And appreciate from her, her goodness and her stability and her love for you. And appreciate the treasure that God has put as a gift into your hands. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for giving some of us courage to continue to wait, while at the same time the determination to stand alone, even if it means enduring personal loss and public misunderstanding. Thank you, Lord, for modern day Esthers, women and men alike, who have stood up to be counted. They model for us what the Christian life is all about. And Father, I pray for anyone who, like Haman, has blamed others for his unhappiness and deserve the very gallows upon which he will place his Mordecai. Bring us to an end of our blaming. Bring us to an end of our impatience. Bring us to an end of our arrogance. In doing so, bring us face to face with the claims of Jesus Christ and an acknowledgement of his right to rule in our life. Father, Esther experienced her finest hour when things seemed unsure. Father, if we could do that for her, if you could do that for her back then, it isn't out of the question to think you can do that for us today. So that's what I pray for on behalf of others. A step into our world. Change hearts we cannot budge. Replace our weakness with your strength. Give us calm and quiet confidence that all things are in your hand and therefore under control. And when all is done, we will be able to give you the honor and the glory in the dear name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
hearted, wholehearted, faithful and loyal, King of Christ, by thy grace we will be under the standard exalted and royal, strong in thy strength we will battle for thee. World silence in heaven, song of a spirit, rejoice and then free. Pearl of the watchword, royal forever, King of lies, by thy grace we will be. True-hearted, whole-hearted, fullest allegiance, yielding as poor to a glorious King, violent endeavor and loving obedience, freely and joyously now would we bring. Pearl of the watchword, rejoicing and free, pearl of the watchword, loyal forever, King of lies, by thy grace we will be. True-hearted, whole-hearted, Savior, all-glorious, take thy great power and reign there, O Lord, over our will and affection victorious, freely surrender and hold thy own word. Word, silence and never, song of our spirits, rejoicing and free, pearl of the watchword, royal forever, King of our lives, by thy grace we will be.
We appreciate it. Now this morning, last Sunday was a special Sunday, and this morning is another special Sunday. Will you bring his motorcycle to Dr. McCormick? We want Dr. McCormick with his motorcycle right here. We are celebrating the 90 years old, this fellow. Let's give a hand to him, 90 years old. You come forward. Get the motorcycle and come forward. All right. Yeah. You never tell the people get a walker. You tell them get the motorcycle, so that way they feel good. All right. You have to have psychology. All right. Okay. Here it is. I met Dr. McCormick 25 years ago, and Mrs. McCormick, and the family, and they've been in this church, and we want to congratulate your 90th birthday. You have been a blessing to all of us. To all of us. And so the church, in remembrance of your 90th birthday, is going to give you this beautiful Bible for you, so that you remember that we love you.
All right? Good.
All right, let's give a hand. He has been my personal friend for 25 years. We meet every week and we enjoy each other. And it's just wonderful. Two genius, you know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the life of Dr. McCormick. And thank you that we can celebrate it together as a man who faithfully joined this church and stayed put in the church and faithful with his wife, Leo. Thank you, Lord, for allowing him to be able to celebrate 90 years of life. Thank you that you came to him and showed him Jesus and he embraced it. And thank you for his cooperation and his willingness to let the gospel go. Thank you, Father. Now as we celebrate it, may the Lord bless us and may the Lord give more years to our doctor. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So what we're going to do, you say hello to Dr. McCormick and then we're going to have a potluck dinner for you. All right. And you're going to be the first one here. So Pastor Greg will come and pray later as I walk out. There are some people who go, but if you want to stay, you're invited to stay. We're going to have a good luncheon. You know, in this church, we eat. All right. The pastor eat, the people eat. All right. God bless you. All right. You pray for this. All right. You see.
For the food, and then we can get Dr. McCormick through the aisle and his family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for your hand of blessing, your hand of peace and grace, that you have nourished our bodies with food and that we look forward to having it, Lord. And you also nourish our soul with your word. Strengthen us for your service and bless Dr. McCormick with a continued longevity of life in rejoicing in you and serving you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.